Very good. We're on board, Doug or Matt.
Okay. I'm going to call, the recording started. I'm going to call the meeting to order. And we have all three commissioners, I think, still.
This is Doug. I'm there.
Yeah, this is Matt.
Okay, great. All right, so our first item is the minutes from the April 20th meeting. There was some discussion about that. I know that between Jonathan and Matt, have you guys resolved that issue about the minutes?
Matt, this is Jonathan. Do you want to make a motion for that language that I gave you?
I mean, that's fine. Do you want me to read this?
Okay, I can quick read it. There'd be a motion from Matt, and I can give it to Vicki to put in. I move to amend the description of item 5 of April 20th board meeting minutes to reflect that my motion did not expressly, quote, authorize Tom German, John Schwartzman, or Richard Snyder to attend the conference, but rather I made a motion to limit the number of people traveling from the conference from 4 to 3.
Okay. So with that modification to the minutes, I'll move to approve the minutes.
Pat, I can second it.
Okay. Any other discussion about the minutes? All right, then. All in favor, say aye, please.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Matt.
Aye, Brad. Okay. Then we do have some loans this month. I guess flip to my page here. That's some. We have a lot of loans this month.
Yeah, we're on a record pace for this year, as I've been informed. What do you think we'll hit? 160 at this rate?
Yeah, as far as the number of loan applications. You know, a number of loans, they drop out before the loan is funded because they find another funding source or the project gets canceled. But we are on a record pace for loan applications this year.
So are these approved for proper public purpose?
They are.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the loans. Doug, can we get a second?
Just for the record, I'll second it. Just for the record, how many loans and how much money? You didn't say that.
Oh, we have 13 loans, and it's $12,337,000 and some additional dollars.
You.
Okay. Any other discussion regarding the loans? Then all in favor say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Ms. Madden.
Aye, Brad. Okay. Then we didn't have any old business on the agenda. We do have a few new business items discussed and a possible vote to add a listing of BCPL trust lands on for sale on the agency website. Matt, this was a request from you for the agenda, so I'll turn this over to you.
Yeah, and I'll try to get through it quickly. And if Doug's short on time or yourself, sir, I mean, we can obviously move this to later. It's no pressing business. But basically, I attached two documents, and I'm assuming they're kind of grainy. The scan wasn't so good. But one of the things that I've never understood, and I've been asking since I joined, was why we're not trying to at least notify people that we have lands that we don't want. And we have a very distinct consolidation area that covers like six or seven counties up north. We've got all these lands that are outside of it, and I circled them on, I think it's page 11 of the board packet. I don't know why we don't just at least, you know, zoom in on a map, kind of like we have some of the other lands on there listed now, and just let people know that if they wanted them, they are for sale. Because by the definition,
I think there's one challenge, and that relates to we can't offer land, make an official offer for sale until we've had the appraisal. So is that correct, Jonathan or Tom?
Tom, it is correct. There's a way around that.
This is Doug. I was thinking about this, and I see no problem with letting people who happen to look at the website to see we have land for sale. Couldn't we say something like, if you have any interest in any of these properties, please let us know, and we will have them appraised?
Right.
Yeah, and this is Matt.
I think that's fair.
Working around the appraisal, I mean, obviously we don't want to start appraising things constantly because there's a cost there, but whether it was worded as saying these lands could be for sale, you know, I mean, I know the language, but it's just we don't, people don't know that these lands do exist. So that's kind of my point, and it'd be something we'd have to maybe figure out further in the future. But I would just like for maybe some of these lands for people to know that we might not want them.
I think that's a fair thing to do.
Go ahead.
I have no problem with the idea, and I'd urge Jonathan and Tom to work with people and come up with the proper language that would alert people that the potential existed for them to purchase this land if they were interested, and then we could proceed with the appraisal.
Yeah, Doug just said made sense to me, so I guess at this point we can let the staff kind of work on it for a little while and worry about it later.
Actually,
great. I'm not really convinced. Oh, go ahead.
This is Tom. Actually, we had contacted a lot of the neighbors over the years, and in fact, on a number of occasions. In fact, on our website right now, we have listed lands for private sale because of the fact that we had offered all those at public auction. And when we offered them at public auction, we went to all the surrounding neighbors and encouraged them to bid on them. And when those didn't sell, they now are available for private sale. But we actually had contacted a lot of the neighbors of other parcels to try to find out, was there any interest in offering lands for public sale? And we hadn't gotten a lot of interest, especially on some of these landlocked parcels, because of the fact that the neighbors were, in fact, enjoying it as a private park.
Well, this is Jonathan.
Yeah.
I think the suggestion that Matt is making is a good one. And I agree that we'll work something up. There are some limitations for us that have already been mentioned, but another one is the limitations of our website. And I think we can address that. We've been talking internally about that, because it would be good if an individual could go on our website and find a general statement that where lands are superfluous to our mission, they may very well be purchased. And then have a way to access land by county, at least in a general way, that you could see where it is and what acreage it is and the nature of the land. And I think we can get to that point, but we may have to take a baby step by just having a generalized statement, lands are offered for sale when they're outside of our mission, and here's the contact person to get a hold of.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Doug with a small concern. I just wonder if it's cost effective in the sense that we've experienced the fact that these lands are not very saleable, and we've tried to talk to counties, we talked to tribes, we tried lots of things. If we have to do a lot of web maneuvering and so forth, maybe the cost of doing it's not worth the fact that we might sell one or two of them eventually, you know.
Well, I don't think we would trigger any cost appraisal, for example.
Then let's move ahead then. Let's go.
Right. We'll give you a report on that.
Okay.
We don't need to vote on this. We need staff can develop something to get back to us.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we all agree. Then it seems like items 5 and 6 are kind of linked. Do you feel that way, Matt? Or?
Yeah, I think 6 was kind of added by the end when the last time we talked, and you basically said, well, let's put it on there. And I basically added number 5, and there's no vote necessarily needed for any of mine, at least. But number 5 I added, and I think I sent something to Jonathan about number 5, but basically trying to talk about if there's ways that we could somehow utilize some private resources. I think about all these lands that are sitting up there, and obviously many of them are parcels that we just don't want, those random 40s and the lands outside the consolidation area. And I'm wondering, you know, just thinking here, if there's a way we could reach out to, let's say, the Realtors Association and say, listen, you guys have thousands of people, and you're from all over the state, whether you're in Milwaukee area or Sheboygan. If you have somebody that might be interested in some of our land, maybe they could work with us. And the problem is, obviously, you know, Realtors or whoever don't want to work for free. I think we can legally give commissions if we sell it that way, ultimately. And I know, like, if you were to list a home, let's say, in Milwaukee, typically a realtor charges 6% with about 2.4 going to what's called a co-broke. And that co-broker is basically the person that actually, you know, finds the person to buy the house. So if we match that 2.4 or, let's say, 3%, and, again, this isn't anything today, but something to think about down the road, I think we could possibly get some of our parcels that are just sitting out there and maybe get some people to look at them.
Well, this is Doug. Part of the problem is that we can't really have someone promoting selling our land until we decide how we're going to handle that. But my first thought is, I think someone should develop for us the responsibilities and duties of the current and projected real estate specialist. I'll be honest, I don't know what they did on a daily basis. I'd like to see what they did on a daily basis to decide if we need that in-house person, or is there a potential to farm that out or not, and then have Jonathan and Tom come to us with a recommendation.
You know, and this is Matt, Doug, just to go off what you just said there, I mean, as a comparison, let's say we gave somebody, maybe it was a local person up in that Rhinelander area, and they ultimately made 3% on sales of lands that we ultimately did. If we sold, for example, $2 million of acreage, so not necessarily, but $2 million worth of land, at 3%, that would be about $60,000. Well, that's going to be what any state employee with benefits ends up costing us, and that's probably on the low end. So, I mean, we would have options to give, you know, maybe it's not just a single realtor up there. Maybe it's, I don't know the big realty companies up in the North Woods, but maybe there's a group that specializes up there. So I think these are things we should think about before we go in and we just hire a state employee.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that we haven't been selling much land. We've done some trades, Forest Service and so forth, but I don't know. I still would like to know what the real estate specialist has been doing and projected to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't sell much land.
I agree.
Your idea of having a real estate agent sell land for us is kind of a moot point because we don't sell much land. So what did they do on a daily basis, and what do we need to have them do in the future?
Okay. Well, we can maybe put that on to, I think, maybe a longer discussion at another meeting, maybe at another phone conference maybe in the future. But there's one challenge with all of this, and that is that we have to sell, as I understand it, we have to sell our land by auction. And real estate agents typically aren't familiar with that kind of process. So it's not clear whether we could use standard real estate agents to sell our land versus having a specialist who's familiar with our particular style of selling land. So that's one challenge. I don't know if it's insurmountable, but it's there.
Good point. All right.
Anything else, Jonathan?
Seven.
Or okay, number seven.
This item, my reaction was, but we do that already, don't we? I mean,
yeah.
I always have when I've traveled.
I think that's correct, Doug. Any state employee is required to follow the state travel reimbursement guidelines. So,
well,
no boozing it up.
In the many times I used to travel, complain to both of you. The only time I ran into it was one time when there was it was a city that was pretty expensive, and I went out to dinner, and I think my dinner was $2 more than the $12 limit or something, and so I said fine, and I just changed my expense voucher from 15 to 12, and that was the end of it.
Well, this is Matt. Obviously, I put it on there. I agree that I'm assuming we generally abide by the travel framework that's set up under the Uniform Code because I think we legally have to. My point is in regards to the lodging. I don't think I mentioned it last time. I don't think people, when they go on these trips, like to share a room, but it's listed there, and we can cut down on the cost of our travel. So if four people go, and we can, instead of renting four rooms, they can, and they're willing to do it, to save the taxpayers, or in this case, school children money, half the rooms. I think I sent in the email that I sent to Jonathan that it would save about $1,500 on this trip. That's three iPads and hundreds of books. And I guess that's a complaint I have about all the state government, not the BCPL, but I don't know if that's ever been the policy where people at the staff, when they travel, if that's how they travel.
Okay, well, the guidelines provide that employees of the same sex traveling together are encouraged whenever feasible to share lodging accommodations. So that's our requirement under the state rules. I'm not inclined as as commissioners of one state agency to create our own separate rules. So I'm not inclined to try to modify those. I guess we could require our staff members who go on trips to share rooms. I'm not making a motion for that.
Well, this is Matt, and we'll leave it at that. If I doubt you and Doug are going to support it, I just want to call attention to it, and I guess I'll ask right now if we booked rooms and how many have we booked.
We've reserved 4 rooms, but right. Haven't booked them.
All right, that's just my point. I mean,
yeah, we have not spent any money on this conference yet for our discussion, Matt.
No, it all gets to the
point. I don't know how important this all is. I mean, I apparently am never going to be traveling again, so it's a moot point for me. I do remember historically one time, I don't remember who it was or where it was, but this issue came up, and one person had a health issue, and because of that health issue, they could not share a room. But I don't remember who or what it was. But anyway, so for that, let's move on.
Okay. Then we're down to anyone have any future agenda items they want to discuss today?
This is Jonathan. I'll conclude my executive report so I can wait for the future agenda items.
Okay.
Any other? I'm sorry. I don't have any future agenda items. Does anybody else?
Okay. Okay. Then can you go ahead with the executive secretary report, please?
Okay, I will. It's pretty quick. First of all, I got a request from Commissioner Adamczyk as to a report on the acreage that has been sold, I believe, since January of this year. There has been no land sold by us and closed since January of this year. However, we have 3,400 acres of trust land that are being prepared right now to be conveyed to the U.S. Forest Service. Should take place as early as this year.
Somebody got the phone on. I mean, he could barely hear you.
Well, that's the background coming from Oxford.
Oh, okay.
We have 1,200 acres of school trust lands that would be conveyed to Oneida County that's in the works. Probably won't occur this year. We have next board meeting we're going to be putting forward. Doug, is that in your background, all that noise? You must be having a party then. I think it's just phone interference. I'll give you a written report on this. We are working right now actively, and next meeting you're going to have probably a proposal to sell 86 acres in Pigeon Lake and a total of about another 1,400 acres that we are presently engaged in negotiations to sell, but don't anticipate right now being able to tell you a closing date, except it would be probably in the second or in the quarter of this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put that in a written report. It's kind of hard to
relate.
But here's quite a moment. Well, I'll give you one example. I contacted a school management organization, Phil Blake, and he is going to be identifying 700 acres, as much as 700 acres of our land and actually in Iron County. He wishes to do a 1031 trade on as soon as the 15th in terms of identifying the land. That potentially, some of that will potentially be sold in the next quarter.
Okay.
There are some activities. I'll give you a written report.
Okay.
Does Matt on the sermon benefit? Good.
All right, I'll second. All in favor, say aye, and then hang up. Aye,
bye. Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, Doug's having
bye-bye. Fun. We are adjourned. Yeah.